Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Three Fat Truckers. We're your hosts. I'm Bill. Joining me, as always, are my two fantastic co-hosts, Dave and Steve. How's it going, fellas?
Ooh, long trip back from Iowa, but we're doing great today.
More on that later.
I just flew in. My arms are tired. Good day, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Yeah. Episode 62, recorded on the year of our Lord, 2024, July 14th. Show notes will be linked in the description. What do we got, guys?
Well, I got to do a shout out first thing this morning, guys. I was coming back.
Check local listings on morning.
Well, that is true. Yeah, it's my morning because I'm still peeling my eyes open. If you know what I mean.
Time appropriate greetings.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. However, to the time you are listening to us. So,
more than likely, it'll be Monday if you're keeping up. If not, it could be. It could be, what, Tuesday, the year 2037. You know, people, I think about this kind of crazy shit. Somebody listening to us.
You won't be here, Bill.
We might not, but look, we're on YouTube. We're out there in the ether just floating around. There'll be, our voice will exist long after our passing. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's kind of cool. That means we live forever, and that's what people like me.
Until that internet thing there is gone.
Oh, until the EMP goes off. until China takes over. We're not making fun of anybody. Well, I'm not. I am.
Well,
if you believe that, you're an idiot.
Let me get back to my shout out.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah.
Sidetrack.
Because he said, I'll do a shout out. And then.
Isn't that how our president does it?
I'm going to do a shout out.
As we're talking here, coming back from Iowa yesterday, we happened to wander off the highway and I just Googled restaurant like we did in Louisville there. And we found that little bar down there in town.
Did you find any truck wrecks?
No, not on this.
Let's not go there. It'll deteriorate.
So the first thing that come up on my phone where we were located was this thing called the Purple Onion. And I'm like, the Purple Onion? And I go, well, Mike, there's a Purple Onion up there. And first thing he says, you don't like onions. In purple, you even hate the words. And I said, yeah, I know. But so I went and looked at the pictures of the food, and it was all the same as we had out there in Louisville. They had all kinds of good stuff. And I go, let's give it a shot. So we pull off the highway there in Anawan, Illinois, I think is what it is, to the Purple Onion. We go back around there and walk inside, and I'm got to do a U-turn to park in front of the place. And I'm like, look at this front row parking right there. And I gotta
got
to wait on
this handicap sticker.
Well, yeah, but this is just parking front, you know, on the street. And I'm waiting for a truck to go by, and the SOB parks in my spot. I'm like, So we pull up behind him, had to park on the other side of the alley, walk up there. We walk inside, and they're sitting there, and the first thing I said, thanks for stealing my parking spot. And he looked at me and goes, oh, you're the guy turning around there in the road? I said, well, I was, but. And he goes, oh, man. I said, yeah, we just seen this place on the old interweb, and we thought we'd stop here on the highway. And he goes, best place in town to eat. And I look at him, I go, there's four people in here, you two and us two. How can this be the best place in town to eat if there's nobody here? And the lady comes walking. Yeah. I no sooner said that, and they never stopped coming in the door. For the next 5 minutes, I bet like seven families walked in, and I'm like, holy cow. So we go through. I order a tenderloin. I think Mike ordered the same thing. Yeah. I said, is it one of them giant, great big ones? And he, no, lady, these are thick. We do them ourselves here. And we got talking to them, but I told them they did a wonderful job. They did a wonderful job there at the Purple Onion. The food is fantastic. I'll throw a couple things up on our socials. I got some pictures of the inside. It was just an old mom and pop downtown diner. It ain't no right next to a bar. It ain't nothing special. But they rocked the homemade food, and it was wonderful. From Your Three Fat Trucker approved. If I had the sticker, was going on the door. So
we got to make them stickers, dude. We've been talking for two and a half years about it now, and
so
it's not that big of a deal. I don't know why we haven't got it done. It's
because job getting in the way. This truck driving thing. Hey, Steve. You've been out to Iowa a few times and been by Iowa 80.
The Trucking Jamboree, lots Iowa 80 Trucking Jamboree.
Now, that's the event this weekend, but yeah, you've been there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever went into Grandma's restaurant across the street next to the Pilot? Yeah. I didn't realize how good the food was in there. And they have a bar in there.
They still have the other one right behind it. I think it used to be called Checkers or something.
I don't know. This place was...
steak. It's a steak place back over there or something.
There's a hotel behind it now.
Yeah.
But, this place.
While you're there, did you actually take time and tour the museum?
Yes.
Did you like it?
I got that on video.
Yeah.
Pretty cool place.
Yep.
I'd like to put the video up, but I can't compare. My video prowess is nowhere near what Dave's is.
I think it was on Facebook and everything, that this was their anniversary.
60th.
Yeah.
Yes. Too. And I got the whole speech, and they brought a cake in from Vermont, and everybody, Bill got there right as they were serving the cake. Timing was impeccable.
Now, was there anybody there that we knew?
Yes. We talked to Red, and three people from Match.
Was Alex there?
Yes. Alex was one I seen. And the guy we did an interview with.
What about Bonehead Trucker? Was he there?
No, I did not see him. Didn't see Mother Trucker.
Didn't see Little Man Show.
I didn't
Alex
see him.
Alex is either. Mother Trucker. That's what I was asking. You said yes.
Well, no.
Who are you calling not, that's, Alex?
Then the tall kid that we did the interview with that I'm trying to remember what he was pushing. I think
the
it was.
Got kid? The that's good. That was a shorter kid.
The good, clean-looking guy. He caught me. He come up. I didn't even recognize. He come up. Hey, Dave, how you doing? I was my three fat trucker. You know, and I'm like, okay, you do look familiar, but where?
Remember, you still go, hey, I'm old. I don't remember shit. And
that was pretty much it. I did learn something this weekend I didn't know.
Now, if he watches the show, he's going to be disappointed about that.
I know it. But like he says, he follows us on the show, but he just gets content, and they put it on whoever he's working for does it. But I did find out something this week, and I didn't know. We all use the cat scales, right? Mm-hmm. Steve, you've used them. I've used them. We all. Iowa 80 is the owner of that. They're the ones. They have one whole building back there, and they're the ones that put them all over the country, and they own the whole thing, and I didn't know that. And
well, let them know we love the app.
Oh, I do. I did.
You don't have to get out to pay or
I did.
That was game changer. Oh, yes. Man.
Well, they had they,
no,
when
the
I got
game
there,
changer is that damn product that we found at Louisville that hooks to your phone that you can buy and you can weigh yourself immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Their systems.
That was just amazing.
Well, that'd be your game changer if you were in heavy haul. Yes.
Loading stuff and have it perfect every time and just go.
Well, the cat scale thing, just you weigh it, you pull up,
slide
your tandems and back on the damn thing to reweigh
several
it.
Several times, yes.
I mean, you know, that
as long as there's not a Swift driver behind you.
And there often is, but sometimes you get lucky.
Or there isn't one on the scale already hanging off the side because he missed the turn.
Or the one that pulls in front and he says, where it says, pull off the scale and come inside, and he don't
I'll be
park.
Right back.
And he we'll parks right in front of you.
Take a yeah. dump and get me a sandwich. And yeah.
Yeah. I did a neat interview at the show this year, the Jamboree, I should say. I had a America Trucking Network lobbyist come up and did a full video recording about parking. They're fighting a thing about parking.
Oh.
And we did a big interview. It was probably about 4 to 5 minutes. He wanted to get us driving away in the golf carts. We had all the signs up. I brought the show up 3 times and I had to sign permission so they could take it in front of Congress because they're going to play the video in the halls of Congress. So
cool. Okay, Bill.
And Brian edited out the three fat trucker part, but
we're doing this on, it's going to be a video out on YouTube and stuff, but people hear the audio only. Sometimes when you're talking, you get a picture in your head when somebody's talking about, you know, or sort of can see what they're talking about. When I hear Dave say Jamboree, I automatically think him in a pair of bib overhauls, a straw hat, piece of hayseed out of his mouth, looking like the mayor, remember that when he was a kid? I see a picture of that in my mind for some reason.
Showbiz. Here, let's go back a little farther. You remember the original Mountain Dew guy? Yeah, Mountain Dew. Now I'm going back a long time for that.
Way back. The oldest Mountain Dew commercials I remember are the ones where the teenagers in the 70s are swinging on the tree rope into the river.
Oh, okay.
Do it.
No, I can remember the ones where it was the hillbilly running across the field and the girl was chasing with the short shorts and had the straw hanging out and the bib overalls on.
Don't wreck your trucks. Searching YouTube for that one, folks.
Yeah. old Mountain Dew commercials, but.
Oh, I'm sure it's out there. They're all out there.
But no, when he says Jamboree, it reminds me of like the Disney Bear Jamboree.
Yeah.
I see Dave in a pair of bibs with no t-shirt and straw hat. And
that was Showbiz Pizza that had that Bear Jamboree. And then Chuck E. Cheese took him over.
Now, you know, I think next year
we need to get like a photo op of everybody in bibs like that.
I think that
would, 80.
I'm afraid to put bibs on because I think I'll like them too much and never go back to pants.
Oh, I've got two.
I have a pair.
I got 2 pair.
And
I don't have any.
If you don't have them really loose on the shoulders, they're pulling your nuts all day.
Oh, well, you got to set that up right.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you don't go commando in them?
Oh, you can. I used to work with a guy, dude. That's all he wore was bibs.
I worked with a lot of farmers.
The front of it was not buttoned on the fly, and he had a yellow piss stain down the front of him all the time.
That's so gross.
So he always had to go on the fly.
I just don't think
that was a bad dad joke, Dave.
You're fired.
It's the old adage: you got 6 inches of clothes and 3 inches of pecker. You can't get through.
Gee whiz, we don't know anything about that.
That story that my buddy never told us. No,
I'll tell you what, Dave. I tell you what, Dave, that wearing bibs is when you have a tough time, you're constantly pulling your pants up. Uh-huh. Bibs are just it
makes him feel so free, Dave.
It's great. It really is. If they fit right, you know, they're great.
I think I had a pair of bibs in the 70s I wore.
But it feels,
but you can't, I'll tell you right now, Dave, you can't trust a fart in them.
No. The thing about bibs is that you feel like you're not wearing any pants because there's no sensation around your waist whatsoever.
So if I bend over to pick something up, which I don't normally do because I'm fat, but
do I get a wedgie
like back in the day when the kids would come up and pull
your pants? No, you got to get them fit right. I bought mine at Rural King, that Rural King brand.
Well, of course.
And well, it's their brand, their store brand.
Dickies and Carhartt are $50 more.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they don't work, I'm not taking them back.
But they had such a huge selection of the Rural King brand. I can't remember the name of it offhand.
It's just RK, yeah.
Tough skins.
But they fit. They seem to fit. And I used to wear them all the time when I was the last company I drove for before the company.
You need to start it again, Bill.
What's that?
Started up again?
Yeah, started up.
Yeah, well, I just...
Maybe I'll get us some 3 fat.
They just don't look right with your flip-flops is the problem.
I got tired of something being over my shoulders and maybe driving all day.
Maybe I'll get us some three fat trucker bibs.
Yeah, there you go. Ooh.
Have our little over your shoulders. That's Kim.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Well, I have these backpack suspenders, which basically feels like you're over your shoulders. You know, they just clip in the back only, and I love them because of that. But sometimes I got to take them off. I'm tired.
Yeah, same thing. I wear, they're called holdups, and they only clip to the pants in the back, and they go over your shoulders and then like under your armpits and connect. And
that was for the bigger guys. They didn't, the front part always cut in your belly. So you just,
I know it. You can't
got to worry about the front part. No. The back part is the one that gets you every time, though. But the bibs, you just ain't got to worry about that because they're just going to keep you. They're foolproof.
Foolproof.
I did something today, Steve. I don't normally
must
do
be because there's a lot of fools wearing them.
I normally put a little milk in my coffee. Today, I didn't have no milk. I had chocolate milk, so I poured chocolate milk on there. And I got to say, chocolate milk, not too bad.
I mean, it's more sugar, if anything else. It's mocha. Black you got mocha strong. Now is
oh,
what
yeah,
you got.
Oh, yeah, now I have a chocolate mocha.
Yeah,
there you go. Shit, Starbucks ain't got nothing on me.
Wearing that, drinking that daggum old queer coffee now there from my daggum old Starbucks.
Oh, well,
did you see, I think I sent it to you, maybe, Dave. There was a thing from like, it started in 1970, early 70s, like 1970, and it showed every year up to like 2014, 18, and it showed every fast food restaurant and stuff.
Yes.
The numbers and how they kept going back and forth. McDonald's was way down. Dairy Queen was number one, I mean, forever. And then you can see them climbing and climbing and climbing, and McDonald's was number one. And then all of a sudden, Starbucks was ahead of them.
Yeah,
you could tell with the time frame when you looked at the dates, you know how they were going and stuff. But I thought that was pretty cool.
I also got the kick out of seeing when Subway overtook everybody.
Oh yeah,
the most restaurant. Yeah,
but I can guarantee the exact year that Subway dropped off big time. You know when that year was?
When Jared got caught, yeah,
kids or something. Yeah.
I actually almost got into a Subway franchise. I had the money. I almost did.
Oh, they still make money, dude.
Yeah,
yeah. I think they've survived that.
They've went so far away from what they started at.
This was back in the early days because it was only $2,200. I only had to come up with.
Well, now, have you not seen the billboards and stuff? You can have a steak and shake.
Yeah, steak and shakes. Yeah, they did away
steak
with
the steak and shakes hurting y'all.
Well, steak and shake did away with
closing the indoor. You can only go drive through.
Well, now they open the indoor back up, but you got to walk up to the counter. They have no servers. You go up, order, really? You go sit down.
Oh,
yep.
That's not a good sign.
Well, in the area where I'm
can't
at,
can't get help.
Exactly. The restaurants here
can't get help.
You walk inside a fast food restaurant and says, sorry, lobby's closed. We don't have enough workers.
Yeah.
I noticed the place that have good relationships with their workers, though. I'm sorry. I believe this from the bottom of my heart. You treat your people good. You pay them a decent wage and you'll hold on to them.
You get help then.
Yes.
Well, it's all screwed up when they started wanting a $20 an hour at a fast food place.
Yeah. Well,
it's 20. I mean,
that's
kind of
dumb, but.
Yeah, these are supposed to be starter jobs. These ain't supposed to be careers. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, frying French fries is not a career.
Although I've seen some people there our age that are still
slinging
them out.
It's for old people that need to help supplement their retirement.
It's for people
that can't pass
a drug test.
Well, that's what it's become.
I don't know what you're talking about, Bill.
Hey,
how you feeling there, Steve?
Still hitting the caffeine coffee there, Bill.
Right.
We need to shout out.
We're not waking bacon here.
we need to do a shout out here on Big
Another
News.
Shout out? All right.
Yeah, big news is going on, and pray that everything goes fine with Donald Trump and the people that got actually shot in this shooting that happened yesterday. And I know there's a lot of people that don't like him, but some innocent people all got caught up into this.
Yeah. I feel like we got a lot of people that listen to Three Fed Truckers.
It's one of them things, though, too.
We got to bring the tone down.
Who you are. If you don't like a person, there's not no reason to shoot them. How freaking ignorant can you be?
Innocent people that had nothing to do but went to see him. One died and two are fighting for their lives. So
if you look back on history, it is some of the most dynamic presidents that we've had were the ones that somebody took a pop shot at. And
you are right. Yeah.
Yeah. He takes his place now amongst Theodore Roosevelt, which he was shot in the chest and then gave a 3-hour speech.
Reagan.
He didn't get shot.
Did Carter?
No.
Reagan didn't actually get shot. That was his Secret Service agent, Brady.
No, Reagan did get shot in the belly.
Oh, that's right. He did get shot
in the belly. Yeah. And it was worse than what everybody was led to believe. He damn near passed on the operating table. So, but yeah, I mean, it's sad that we got this. People get so worked up over this.
That mentality.
So let's just tone it back a bit. The three of us are good friends.
I don't like rage anymore, bud. So
yeah, the three of us are good friends, and we don't all agree on everything, but we're still going to be good friends, you know? So, but I just wanted to get that out there.
I think you made a good point that I think we are getting way too wound up. We're allowing the hype cycle to get into our heads way too far. And all of the, universal fear of the unknown is really driving people into a frenzy in recent days.
And on this subject, I had somebody write me a note and ask about something, and I'm going to bring it full circle to what I'm talking about. And I've already explained this to Bill. I stopped at the Pilot, Jackson, Mississippi, went in there one morning, early in the morning, to get my coffee. I pulled up there, got my fuel. I had a Walmart pull up right next to me.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So I'm sitting there. He gets fuel. He walks in front of me. I follow him in there, and I'm thinking in my head, I'm ready to rip this guy in my head. Your company sucks. You had a driver spit on me. There was no explanation.
Yeah, I refer everybody to a previous story he told about a little altercation he got into with a Walmart driver where he flipped the Walmart driver off. To be fair, I got to tell it the whole way. And then the Walmart driver spit on Dave.
Driving by me out of his truck onto my arm, you know. And he blocked the intersection.
Which I got to admit is some good aim.
Yeah.
Moving target. You know,
and thank God he was going slow enough, and it wasn't 20 years ago because it probably not been the same story. But it
might have been police involved. And
right. So
somebody had to come get the truck.
I'm in Walmart, or I'm in the Pilot, and I'm thinking, I'm ready to rip into this guy because I vented online to Walmart, but I didn't say it. And I'm ready to say something to him. And I walk up there and he's pouring coffee in a cup. I grab a cup, I'm pouring coffee, and we're actually talking cordial, actually talking very nice. You know, how's your day? Hope everything's safe. Super nice guy, super nice guy. And I'm sitting there going, wow, this is, you know, pretty good. And I'm thinking, you know what? I grab my coffee. I'm about half broke down. I'm wobbling my ass up to the cashier to pay for the coffee. And in my mind, I thought, boy, I wish I was in front of him. I want to get his coffee. I want to buy his coffee. The reaction we had went over so well that I felt high respect for this gentleman. And I walk up there, and as soon as I get there, he walks. I say, have a good day, brother. Be safe. He said the same thing. The cashier turned to me and goes, have a good day. He bought your coffee. And I'm like dumbfounded, you know, gobsmacked, sitting there going, okay.
Okay. Now, did you catch him and go explain to him what you thought you was going to do?
No. He was too far ahead of me, and I didn't catch him out there.
And but if you would have, I guarantee he'd have gained more respect for you out of that, too.
Well, that's true.
And I guarantee he would have probably shared that with his company. That, hey, we got guys out here doing shit.
What if God was one of us? Yeah.
But I called Bill probably an hour later, and I said, karma, because I really walked in there wanting to vent and just, know, I can't believe your shitty-ass company lets these shitty-ass drivers, you know. And yet
I got to say, and I was really impressed with Dave right there because, yes, he could have chose a different path. He could have chose.
He took the high road, folks.
He did, and he could have unloaded on the guy, told him the whole story, and then capitalized on, could have ruined that guy's day with it. you know, pass that bad energy on. Instead, Dave chose to have a friendly interaction with this guy.
Hey, Bill.
And the universe is better for it. Thank you very much.
And
mic drop.
And it's gonna our politics needs to go the same way. That's what I was trying to get. We got to bring it down. We ain't all going to agree. The sun's going to come up tomorrow either way. That's what you got to remember.
Great. Now I got these guys song are stuck in my head.
Sun's going to come up tomorrow.
That's by the way,
dollar that
the I lady that won like British Got Talent sung that song.
Britain's Got Talent, yeah.
Yeah, and
are you guys sitting in the basement of his house watching stuff together or what?
Yeah.
And both saying the same and then went right to the same
I sent it to him when I watched it. Oh, he goes, I'm already there.
Was there a golden
buzzer, I'd already seen it.
Yes, there was. And so, you want to know what her name is? Sydney Christmas.
I don't. I think I've seen her on
the and she stood up on the stage and she goes, you think that's funny? I'll hear what my middle name is. And they go, what's that? She goes, Mary.
She had him going for a second there, didn't she?
I thought she was going to say Easter Bunny.
Sydney, Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Her last name's Christmas. So, Mary, get it.
But it was funny. I got to give her credit. The girl can sing good. Took simple songs and rocked them. So.
Yeah. So.
Well, so that's my good karma.
Yeah. Well done. Well done, Dave.
Well, I got to go take a ride yesterday and visit with somebody that I used to drive truck with that lives down this area again. I hadn't seen for, I bet you 9-10 years or so.
And he had to take your socks off to count. That's what that pause.
Well, I was trying to think how long it'd been. But went, had a nice visit. Lives down there by a big lake where they got a barbecue joint down on the docks.
And we like that.
And had barbecue. And
do they cater the boats?
They do. They had a poker run or something down there, they were saying, and all the boats kept coming in. They was getting big rushes of stuff. But
yeah,
really good. Really good barbecue. Had really strong, good smoke flavor in the meat and stuff. I had brisket and some ribs and real good. Nice ride back. Got sunburned like always. And
welcome to summertime.
But it was nice seeing him. He used to live up there, the same area I did, same town up there, and ended up getting divorced and moving and found him a new love and down there living life, retired and taking it easy. I said, I'm happy for you.
Oh, by the way, Steve, did you know I got to sit through the hurricane down there in Houston?
It looked like you.
Oh, man.
Did I send you some pictures of that? Yeah.
Then they showed all the flooding on the interstate in certain areas down there.
Well, yeah, that's right. I did call you after that and said, because I come out 10. And
yeah, you're like, how do I get up back past this other?
Yeah, because it couldn't go north because all the power was out.
Farther it was, I said it's 80 miles longer to go that way.
Yeah, so
because I used to check mileage all the time, dude. Because
you should have shared that picture you sent me.
I got
it on the Facebook group.
I will. It is on the Facebook. I don't know if I'd put it on the Three Fat Trucker. It's on my page, but I'll go ahead and get it up there. I'll get it out there.
Because he was sitting, his little blue dot was sitting right in the middle of that.
About a half an inch away from the eye.
It looked like he was causing it.
On your map, on your phone,
Yeah.
So
he looked like the agitator in the middle of the washing machine.
I just told him, I said, hey, free truck wash.
Well, somebody did. Yeah, Steve, my brother called me and goes, well, how's your power wash job? I said, well, I thought I was going to take the back doors off the trailer because I was turned into the wind, you know. And they go, well, our dispatcher goes, the wind didn't take me over. I go, I drive 80 mile an hour down the highway. I suppose I can take an 80 mile an hour gust if it hits me, you know.
No, the worst thing
is to breathe. You got to worry about.
And sleeping and you feel your truck start rocking hard.
Yeah. And it's like, who hit me?
The storm comes through and you're thinking, is this a tornado or is this the wind? And I
but at the same time before. you're too lazy to get up and
look. Exactly.
And I'm sleeping through this
before. I mean, where you don't leave the normal amount of space between the trucks, you pack them tight.
Yep. Keep that wind down
that bad. It's, you know, so it's hitting one big block instead of in between them.
So when the wind hits and it does the dominoes effect, just ding 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 ding, you only fall.
Well, I was down there at Knoxville one time out there where strawberry fields out there at the pilot, and tornadoes come through there, And I sleep in there, and my truck was friggin' rocking, dude. And I'm thinking, what's going on? And I just went back to sleep, you know, like Bill said.
Yeah.
Yep. And the next day.
Come on, now you're going to get me sleeping.
The next day, across the road, the Loves, the other truck stop, there was trucks flipped over, blown over over there. I'm like, huh.
Well, around the corner from me, there was a Snyder trailer dropped. It had the back doors open, not hooked, and it was empty, and it was on its side.
Like a parachute.
Yeah, I was going to say, right, that is it, yeah. That is the easiest. It looked like that semi up here by us on 69 that flipped over after that windstorm we had.
That's the nice thing about being heavy hauling, or well, hauling heavy. The kind of freight where we're always grossed out, you know.
Well, it don't matter sometimes if it's big and if it's a big enough storm.
You have to be pretty big. Yeah,
flip that over too.
You'd have to be pretty big to knock over 80,000.
Well, but thank you. I know I am.
That. That doesn't mean it ain't going to rip the tab right off the frame, you know.
Porcelain thrown every day.
Yeah, buddy.
Not the bucket.
I gotta lift that bucket up with both hands when I'm done, buddy.
You ain't pulling this train.
Yeah, buddy. Come yank this cord.
So let's get back to Iowa 80. 60th anniversary. Let's do a little quick thing on that. Give them a shout out. They treated us good. I went down there and got us some press passes, and they gave me a little sheet and the whole lowdown on what's going on, where they got. I got all in here. Went around, talked to some. Lot of beautiful trucks. Lots of beautiful trucks.
You lots of pictures?
Yeah, I got lots of pictures. And matter of fact, I just got home. I just been downloading them this morning, and we'll get them up here within the next week or so.
Home last night or this morning?
I think Bill got back at 5. I got back at 7 last night. So
yeah, we took off earlier than he did. I took the whole family out there. It was
what time you do something with them?
Yeah, so
leaving them home.
I had that. I
just got a question. Did you put them little leashes on them like you see the kids at Disney World?
I didn't have to.
Kids are taller than he is. They don't need little leashes. They have to look for dad. His son's standing there next to him. I'm like, well,
he's the tallest, isn't he?
Landon's the tall. Well, Landon, they told us he's going to end up being like 5'11 or something like that. And the rest
I think
of
he's are, there now. He's as tall as I am.
Curtis, Dylan, and Landon will all be the same height as me. Just normal. Just normal
that's
men.
Normal. That's little.
No, you are a monster, Steve. Quit comparing everybody to you. Normal, dude. You are not normal.
There is nothing normal about you.
There's nothing.
My mom.
No, he's not a monster. He's just slightly tall. He's, what are you, 6'2", 6'3"? 6'1"? 6'2", yeah, that's just a slightly over the 50% tall.
She is.
Well, was your dad tall like you, or
5'6", 5'7"?
Kind of makes you go.
All my mom's brothers are all 6'1".
Oh, okay.
I was getting ready to say somebody in there had a gene that made you sprout. It watered you extra well. So.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Something.
Yeah.
You want to hit a little bit of this news we got up there?
This news is a couple weeks old now, but I guess we could
go. Oh, my God. Listen to him. A couple weeks old.
Yeah.
It's actually 4 weeks
old. I assume. There's no
month
dates.
Ago.
But...
well, and I don't know how old it was when I found it.
Yeah. Well, we'll go through it anyway. The next big LTL shakeup, FedEx explores options for freight division. I thought they already had one. But anyway.
Yeah, I think I did hear something.
This is from Trucking Dive.
I delivered my tires this week because all I was worried about.
Yeah.
They're still working.
If you actually, if you need it delivered sometime next month, then they're good for that. Once they pull them out of the ditch, any sale or spinoff would follow a shift by large carriers toward pure play operations and could further consolidate an LTL sector still reeling from Yellow's demise. What did I just read?
I don't
Dive Brief. I'm gonna have to check this. I clearly this is one of those websites that's got a particular way they write things. Because this next section is called Dive Brief.
Well, because it's the name of the, it's Dive. That's the
I never heard of them, so that might be kind of interesting. FedEx is reviewing the role of FedEx Freight in its portfolio structure. President and CEO.
I didn't make it up.
I apologize ahead of time. Raj, let's just call him Raj, said on a Q4, Q4 earnings call Tuesday, hinting at a possible sale or spinoff of the LTL carrier. Any such move of the largest LTL carrier by revenue would come as the parcel giant searches for savings, efficiencies, and more stability in its revenues. The parcel giant and its external advisors plan to complete the review. We're here for you. Plan to complete the review by the end of the calendar year, Raj said.
There you go.
And Dive Insight. Any sale or spinoff of the unit would follow a shift by other big carriers toward pure play LTL operations popular with investors and could consolidate an industry still reeling from Yellow Corporation's demise last year. And there is a link to an article talking about that in the show notes. UPS sold its UPS Freight division, formerly known as Overnight Corporation, to TFI International for $800 million. That's actually in 2021. What the bucking? TFI renamed the company T-Force Freight. Ah, now I know.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
TFI is planning to spin off Dasiki, and its other truckload. I apologize again, and its other truckload holdings into a separate TL company. That's truckload. LTL means less than truckload for those of you that might be struggling with the acronyms. XPO shed its brokerage and warehousing holdings via spinoffs to become more of a pure play operation. What is that pure play operation?
I don't know.
And avoid what Wall Street refers to as a conglomerate discount on large companies' stock prices.
FedEx told you.
Yeah. FedEx Freight boasts the largest real estate network of any U.S. LTL carrier with about 400 service centers, according to its website. And there's a link to that here in the show notes.
Well, the largest LTL is just because of Amazon. That's what's holding them up.
And of course, Amazon doing their own work, no doubt.
They can't even handle their own, but
the business has more than 46,000 employees and more than 25,000 trucks. Its Q4 operating income increased despite ongoing demand weakness, Raj said. In fact, because of our strong fourth quarter performance, that's what the Q stands for, by the way, quarter. Freight ended fiscal year 2024 with full year operating margin equal to last year's all-time high, he said. A move for FedEx Freight would come as the parcel giant has moved to reduce costs and merge its ground and express units into a single entity. The company is on track to achieve its target of $4 billion in savings in FY 2025, that's fiscal year 2025, compared to its fiscal year 2023 baseline, Raj told investors. FedEx executives previously touted Freight freight synergies with its other operating unit. I love that. I love that word, by the way, synergies. It's fun to say. Mm-hmm. With its other operating units, such as providing line haul services for FedEx Ground and allowing it to sell its parcel and LTL services together. We are the really only provider to bundle our parcel and LTL portfolio, EVP and Chief Customer Officer Bree Curry said in the 2022 earnings call. Raj's comment Tuesday got investors. I'm not even going to try that last name. You want to try it?
No, I already did. It was bad. I butchered as bad as you can.
I'm going to say submarine, so I'm not going to. Raj's comment. Yeah, I don't want to be.
Subramaniums. There we go. Subramaniums.
Hey.
Did I hit it?
You might have, and you might not.
Anyway.
Submarine.
We need the AI that speaks for us.
We
need.
I need generative AI to do that.
I can literally have my Google read it to us. It'll read it to us.
Oh, but they don't always get it right.
Oh, I know. It's funny to listen to some of their words, too.
Well, just like when you have, like, on your vehicle and there's a name on your phone and you say it the way it's supposed to be said and they repeat it back to you something different.
Yeah.
Like I'll have, there's a name in mine that I'll say, Shocky, and it'll say Shoak.
Which is it, tomato or tomato?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Raj's comment Tuesday got investors' attention as FedEx stock jumped 13% in pre-market trading on Wednesday, according to Seeking Alpha, which is apparently a source of information. Link to that in the show notes. It also set abuzz a Facebook group of truck drivers who debated whether it meant a sale would happen and which potential suitor would be best for FedEx Freight employees. One driver wanted Old Dominion Freight Line to buy the LTL, adding with a laughing emoji, "I want to know what it feels like to drive a 70 mile an hour truck." So what? What are you saying by that? Old Dominion could go faster than us?
Yeah, though? Old Dominion's wrong. Yeah, they can go 70.
Yeah. But to keep this 68. Energy 68 and 70.
68.
It's almost more than I can handle. It's almost more than I can deal with. And to continue on that thought process, Saia reopens yellow terminals in Texas.
By the California, way, before and you Minnesota. Carry on, Steve, we had a brand new 680 sitting in our yard with a pack car and an automatic, and Bill wanted it.
He won't buy it. He won't buy it.
He won't buy a pack car because the motors are just
not. That one that was in the yard that you put a picture of said we got a new truck.
Yeah.
Also, he was just looking at it like always.
Oh, they were
dangling it in front of him.
They tried everything to get him to buy it.
They almost gave it to him, and he still wouldn't take it.
And he was wanting that, was he?
If I can't get out there and run. You look kind of dumb.
Everybody bitches about an automatic.
I don't.
Not anymore.
If they are set up right to downshift, and because sometimes they're set up for fuel mileage.
Yes.
And the shift thing is atrocious in them when they got them set like that. But if they're set up right to, you know, the shift with the weight that you haul and stuff, I drive do it all day long. It's like driving your pickup pulling a trailer, man.
Yep, and I'm over it. If I can't get out there and run anyway, I might as well.
Well, yeah, exactly. You guys are cut back. They cut everything back, didn't they?
Might as well be comfortable.
Might as well be, yeah. And that thing back, had all the
flip-flops on, drink your coffee, Bill, and just one-foot pedaler, huh?
Yep. Big old sleeper in the back.
That would be so weird, though, because I have never driven an automatic in my, I remember having the automatics
in an old T660 that had the three pedal where you had to use the clutch to start take off with, and then it was terrible, man.
We had some of those at US Express in the late 90s when those first came out, and you had to clutch it, take it off, and coming to a stop. because it would stall on you if you didn't. But then once you got it going, then the automatic would pick up, which was, I didn't drive one, but
well,
we had
at Genova towards the end there, they switched trucks and everybody got automatics and they were okay, but they weren't, like I said, they weren't set up right. You would go to take off and put it to the floor and it just sit there for a second.
Yeah. Click. Oh, maybe it's like the old throttle delay
jump.
Remember the old Detroit V692 had them throttle delays on them, so you wouldn't get that puff of smoke out of the exhaust and on a silver 92. And it's like, seriously, I hit the gas, I got to wait 30 seconds, and then we go.
Yeah. That could be unsafe if you're trying to jump across. If you're at an intersection,
or a lane.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Snyder that backed their trucks down to 64 mile an hour? Back in the day, now I'm talking in like
they were at 57 mile an hour.
57, dude.
Yeah, and literally were death traps out there.
They were getting ran over all the time.
Yeah. Split speed limit is, you want everybody to move the same.
Yeah,
I agree. Everybody
moves Michigan now.
Yeah, and
there are still a few holdouts. Yeah, Indiana, Michigan.
Well, the thing is, Michigan's got the largest deficit of speed between the two.
No, California.
Do they have one out there?
55.
Still 55.
Still 55. Whole state, across the desert, every semi, 55.
You got a few schools of thought going on with California, because I'm sure EPA has got something to do with that.
Yeah, that's what they're thinking. But
you know, so I don't.
Well, they
don't
can see they can drive their nice electric trucks at 55 mile an hour till they run.
They
out
can of have them. Well, anyway, yeah, like I was saying, SIA reopens yellow terminals in Texas, California, and Minnesota, which basically just means they bought the buildings, a surprise. Yeah.
By the way, outside of Jackson, Mississippi, there is a yard, there must be 5,000 yellow trailers and probably 200 trucks.
You can bet somebody's going to grab them out there. The site in Laredo, Texas is one of the, and this is from, where's this article from?
Same place. Same as the other one.
Trucking Dive. Is that what it? Yeah. Trucking Dive. Okay. The site in Laredo, Texas is one of the carrier's most expensive acquisitions. Will support its partnership with
Fletes
Mexico. The Dive Brief. SIA reopened three former Yellow Corporation terminals to bolster its Mexico cross-border Upper Midwest and Southern California operations, the LTL carrier announced this month, and a link to that.
So do we get a lot of LTL from Mexico, or do they just come over and unload it?
Well, you get a lot of
head back
automotive parts.
That's what
parts.
It's going to be.
Yeah.
Pretty much. A lot of auto parts.
Yeah. Lot. Well,
yeah, but I mean, that's whole trailer loads, I thought. I didn't think that would be LTL.
Yeah, but they go
and
to
tequila.
If it's, it just depends. Some stuff goes here, some goes there. If it's split into two deliveries, it's still called LTL. If it's,
so they'll just bring it across, drop the trailer, we'll pick it up and go.
There's a little bit of that
going on. It says drop yard. The same thing. The auto parts up in our area was the trucking company Ormsby. They had a terminal drop lot in El Paso, and then up here, and that's all they did was go down there and relay across the border to El Paso and grab and drop and hook and come back up to Detroit nonstop.
So the Dive Brief, SIA reopened three former Yellow Corporation terminals to bolster. Okay, I read that. SIA purchased the facilities in Laredo, Texas, Owatonna, Minnesota, among its 17 acquisitions in its defunct competitor's bankruptcy auction. It also acquired the lease to the Orange, California site near Anaheim, along with 10 other former Yellow leases. With each new terminal, we remain committed to providing industry-leading service. SIA EVP of Operations Patrick Sugar said in a statement, our success is built on our ability to duplicate our service excellent in new locations. I bet he uses words like synergy and across all verticals.
I bet he's got a big dictionary right there.
Mm.
Big dictionary.
Big. Drive Insight.
He uses the word webinar too.
Ooh. Are you? Have you signed up for our webinar? We're going to be talking about all verticals. We're gonna circle around and touch base. I could go all day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's lots of it.
Circle back on that one, would you?
All right. The Laredo facility was one of the most coveted in Yellow's bankruptcy real estate auction last year, and Saya bought the property for $51 million. The site and another near Trenton, New Jersey, accounted for more than half of Saya's spending on properties at the auction. The Laredo terminal will offer on-site warehousing and support Saya's partnership with Flitis Mexico, the company said. And we have a quote: "This terminal is important to our operations as it will serve as one of two gateway terminals to Mexico, in addition to enhancing our services across the central and southern U.S., supporting the local economy with job opportunities and improved shipping services." VP of Operations West Kevin Siddell said in an announcement. The Johns Creek, Georgia-based carrier is hustling alongside competitors like XPO and Estes Express Lines to renovate and rebuild their respective former Yellow terminals. All are aiming to get them open as soon as possible to add capacity in advance of a long-awaited freight demand rebound. Saya previously opened facilities in Montana, New Jersey, Texas, and Utah, and the company plans to open up to 16 terminals this year. Reopened former Yellow terminals represent only a quarter of its $1 billion in planned capital expenditures. And, hey.
You know, well, that this whole story makes no sense, because it's an LTL company that just wanted more buildings because in locations are better locations than they had. Nothing changed. They're not like they're going to pick up. Well, they already got the market.
So, I think they're taking over more of the I guess the area where the other one was covering too.
Yeah, the lanes.
But yeah. Think about it, over the years, how many LTLs have been bought out and lost?
Oh, cornflakes, gosh, think about
overnight.
It.
I mean,
Preston.
Yeah. Like Old Dominion, I didn't think they were that big until you start, you know.
Relative newcomer, I think.
R&L surprised me how big it is, even for an Ohio.
Well, and then for Yellow to merge with Roadway, and then all of a sudden, you know, then they go out. That was sort of odd.
Both of them were big, but they were all had union problems.
Yeah, and I don't know if any of these here are union or not.
I can tell you, I got a job. I'll tell this story now that these companies don't exist anymore. I got a job. Steve would probably remember when I started at where we worked together. I worked there for a couple of weeks, and then I got hired. I thought I would try this
LTL.
This LTL company, USF
Union job.
Holland. And yes. Because my uncle, throughout the 90s and that, my uncle just kept, he drove me nuts wanting me to come over and work for them. But I was too much of a trucker, type trucker. And
they don't want a day cab.
It's a completely different world. But when I was there, and I only lasted 2 weeks, by the way, and then I went sucking my thumb back to Riley. And that was because it just... To me, it was just not the world that I'm used to. And okay, so while I was there, they were getting ready to redo the concrete in the lot. And the trucks showed up, the mixer showed up to do the concrete. I'm not going to name any company names, but it was a non-union outfit. Somebody saw that and called up the hall, and their union representative came out and put the kibosh on all that. And made the company get union concrete in there. But, and which they had to capitulate and do, got the union company in there with concrete. But by that time, they had already contracted with the other company. So they had to pay for two concrete deliveries for that lot. And I'm not just talking that one truck that was there. I'm talking what...
The whole job.
The whole job. Yeah. And this is, it's crap like mentality. That. Yeah, that whole mentality, and then that way of having to redo things the inefficiency behind it, the inability to adapt because you have to follow these rules.
Well, I'm sorry.
And now they're all out on the street looking for a job.
The person that scheduled or ordered or approved the company to do it, they knew the rules.
Yeah, I mean, there is
that. It was the union person's fault that it wasn't a union thing there. They're the ones that okayed or hired the company to come do it. Yeah. So it's on them. It wasn't on the company, you know.
You sure nobody else not, but their sure own fault. Sure wasn't on the contractor. The contractor just called and didn't worry about it. The company hired contractor.
No, they anything like that this union, because I was in the union years and years ago working construction, and yeah, that was the union thing came before anything. Came before the job, came before the materials. Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah.
It does make you wonder, though, why it happened. Because no doubt, it would like Steve said, it's union from top to bottom. So the contractor that was hired to do the work had to be aware of that. There must have been somebody, whoever scheduled the concrete back in the office of the worker.
I'm almost betting it was the secretary at the construction company. Hey, we need concrete out here. What time are you going to have the guys delivering?
I'm sorry. I mean, everybody has an opinion on this, and you guys might be different from me, but the unions have outlived their...
Well, they give all their power over to the government.
Well, the problem is when they were actually started way back when, that was actually to help the workers and stuff. Now... it is to line their pockets with money, because I was in a union. The wage I made before you got your check, there was all these things that you paid into besides your union dues, all these funds and stuff. And say you were making $38 an hour. By the time you got your wage and they took your union dues out and all these things that you paid into, you were back down from $38, you were back down to $20. So you're pretty much working every hour for $18 an hour for them. All these funds they went into, the union that I was in, the money they used, that money, they would buy radio stations, hotels. They'd invest the money so it would make more money. So now this union, when you spent that money and they bought these radio stations and hotels, you would think since you're funding this that you could get a discount at that hotel or those hotels. No, you couldn't. So all that money you're paying in, you got nothing back from it. But it was lining the pockets of the people running the organization. And just like going when I went – it just makes me so pissed off.
This is no doubt a divisive
When I went to General topic. Motors, I went to General Motors in Fort Wayne, Indiana, pulled in there with one skid of product, backed into a door, walked up on the dock. There's a guy sitting there drinking his coffee, reading his newspaper on the forklift. I said, "Hey, buddy, I got one skid, you know." He says, "What door are you in?" I said, "Number 10. "Oh, sorry, buddy. That's not my door." I said, "What do you mean it's not your door?" He says, "Oh, I got 11 to 20. The other guy's got 1 to 10. I said, "I got one skid, dude." "Yeah, he'll be back in about half hour." I looked at him. I opened that door and jumped on the forklift, and he's screaming and hollering at me. I said, "You better get back or you're going to get run over." I unloaded that one skid, pulled it out, parked the forklift. He says, "You'll never be allowed back in here." I said, "Good." Yeah. You know, the laziness that right there.
Well, the inefficiency. What makes
unions look bad.
And they no doubt believe they are in the right for all of these somewhat imagined scenarios.
Well,
let us know what you think.
And there is no common sense with it is a problem.
Let us know what you think, folks. Show at 3ftpodcast.org. What has been your experience with unions? And I mean, the experience is always, I will say that I had that experience with Holland, but I did leave trucking for a while in the mid 2000s and got a job at B.F. Goodrich, and that was a rather, I'm going to call that a positive union experience, because the union in this case understood that their role was not just to, you know, the pain in the ass stuff like that, but their role was also to keep their rank and file in check. They were part of the process that was making sure the company was putting out a quality product, because they were managing their people. And I think there could be a place in modern times for the union if they assume some responsibility of the people. If you're going to be this mechanism to be between the company and the employee, and the company only has so much they can do to the employees, then the union needs to be part of that mechanism.
Well, it comes right back to just doing good business practice. Yeah. And have a company treat employees how you'd want to be treated. Don't try and screw your employees. Put out a good product. Quit trying to be shady about shit. All of them. Try and figure some kind of edge or way that they can make it cheaper, faster, not pay as much out, or benefits.
And we're right back to Steak and Shake.
Yeah. So then you're back to, yeah. It's just a vicious cycle. The biggest problem anymore is business etiquette. I mean, businesses, they don't.
Yes.
There's rules and laws, and they don't follow them. They try and get around everything the best they can.
I understand on trying to make money, and I understand cutting costs. But sometimes it's like the theory is if you give somebody a discount, you'll draw his business back, but some companies just try, instead of giving a discount, like if I get a discount someplace or somebody, I think about it and I go back and I will spend my money there because they treated me decent. But if they're just trying to get me for my money, I'm not in a big hurry to go back.
Well, it's like little things this is one that burns me both ends, like a car lot. I know car lots where they might sell 100 cars that month, and they could have sold 500, but they only sold 100 because they're trying to make such a big overhead, more than what, you know, instead of making $1,000 a car, if they were only making 500, they sell twice as many cars.
Right.
I knew a guy that had a used car lot. He couldn't keep cars in. He sold them so much. So fast, because he didn't make a killing on everyone.
He wasn't trying to make $100,000.
He was selling quantity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And making, and had a good living doing it. And I don't know. That there just, one of the things killed me too. But anyway.
Well, guys, let's, we're going to have to wrap this up pretty soon, but let's tell everybody to get out there on the socials. I'm going to be posting pretty heavy this week with some Bill and stuff.
Yeah. We got truck some show videos. We did.
Yep. We're going to call him Heavy D.
Yep.
Heavy D's on the line, boys.
If you saw us at the truck show, or if you missed it, you want to know more about it, or you just want to, I tell you what, just look us up on the socials, email the show at 3thpodcast.org, join the Facebook group.
I was the one at the truck show sitting on Bill's lap, in case you guys were wondering.
Yeah, that was him. That would have been the end of that.
I look younger in person.
Well, we got a couple more truck shows. We got one in Virginia. Steve's getting ready to go too. And then the 1st of August, we got the homecoming up here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, of the Harvesters. And we'll be at that one. So you'll see us out there.
Yep. Look us up. Get a hold of us. Let us know. You know what? Give us ideas for topics to talk about too, or just drop us a line.
We love to talk about union stuff.
Yeah.
Food, union, trucking, it doesn't matter.
We didn't talk about food today.
Our producer's here.
Oh,
is he?
He just showed up to work. Yeah.
He's retired. There ain't no grass mowed today, is
must
there?
Be, it must be great to just show up to work whenever you want.
When we're done, right?
Yeah. All right, kids. Until we meet again, I've been Bill.
And your buddy Dave here, sunburnt, but happy to be home. Heavy D.
Thanks, everybody, for stopping by. Have a wonderful week.
See you, folks.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.